Have you ever stopped to think about how any organization, big or small, really makes sure things run smoothly, that money isn't just vanishing, and that the records are, well, accurate?
It seems simple on the surface, but underneath.
Exactly. Beneath the surface, there's this whole fascinating world of internal control systems, kind of working away unseen.
It really is the invisible backbone, isn't it? Sort of the silent guardian for a company's integrity.
Totally. So for this deep dive, we're going to unpack these internal control systems. We'll look at what they are, why they're so crucial for protecting assets, and keeping financial records reliable.
And importantly, how auditors actually look at them, how they assess them.
Yeah, think of this as your shortcut to understanding those hidden mechanics that, well, basically keep businesses trustworthy.
And, a full system has five key parts, starts with the control environment, goes all the way to monitoring. But today we're going to zero in on maybe the most practical bit, control activities.
Okay, so control activities, we've mentioned the term, but what do they actually look like day to day? How do they work in practice?
Right. Well, they're the specific policies, the actual procedures that ensure management's instructions get done. Like, one of the most basic but powerful ideas is just making sure no single person has, too much control over one transaction. It's called segregation of duties.
Segregation of duties, so different people handle different steps.
Precisely. It's why, for instance, the warehouse staff who manage the inventory shouldn't also be the ones counting it for the records.
That makes sense. Stops potential fiddling.
Exactly. Or why the person ordering supplies usually isn't the one approving the invoice and definitely not the one making the payment. Imagine if they were.
Yeah, you could just order stuff for yourself and pay for it. Okay, got it. Checks and balances. What else?
Well, another big one is authorization.
Like getting a signature.
Kind of, yeah. Think of a manager signing off on a purchase order. That signature isn't just a rubber stamp. It's supposed to confirm that what's being bought is actually for the business, a valid need, not just someone buying a new TV for their house on the company dime.
Okay. And then there are physical things too, right?
Absolutely. Physical controls might sound a bit old-fashioned, but keeping cash in a proper safe or just using strong passwords on computers, they're really effective. Simple barriers stopping theft or someone just accessing stuff they shouldn't.
And IT plays a huge role now, I assume.
Oh, massive. You've got controls built into software. Those are application controls, like making sure you have to enter a valid customer number before processing a sale.
Okay.
And then there are general controls, the broader security stuff, like firewalls, access logs, making sure the whole system is secure.
All right, so we have all these controls, segregation, authorization, physical IT controls. How do the auditors, the external ones, actually check if they're any good?
Well, it's a two-step process, really. First, they need to understand the controls the company says it has.
Yeah.
Figure out the design.
Just see how it's supposed to work.
Exactly. And then, crucially, they test them. They check if they're actually operating effectively.
And does finding good or bad controls change what the auditors do next?
Oh, definitely. It directly impacts their audit strategy. If they assess the controls as strong, what we call low control risk, they can rely on the company's internal information a bit more.
Meaning less detailed checking for them.
Generally, yes. They can reduce the amount of detailed testing. But if the controls look weak or aren't working high control risk, then uh-oh.
They have to do more work.
Much more. They have to dig deeper, do more substantive testing, gather more evidence, often from outside the company, to be sure the figures are right.
But here's something that often surprises people, right? No system is perfect. These controls have limits.
They absolutely do. You've got inherent limitations. Simple human error is when someone just makes a mistake.
Happens all the time.
Yep. Or controls might be designed okay, but they just don't work in practice. They're ineffective for some reason. Then there's collusion.
Staff working together to cheat the system.
Exactly. Two or more people agreeing to bypass a control, like that segregation of duties we talked about. And then maybe the biggest one, management override.
Ah, the boss is just ignoring the rules.
Pretty much. People high up abusing their authority to go around the controls that apply to everyone else.
So what happens then? I mean, take that example. A company has, say, approved supplier lists, needs two signatures for payments. Sounds good.
Looks solid on paper, doesn't it?
Yeah, but what if a senior finance person secretly owns one of those approved suppliers, and then maybe they bribe the junior clerk, the other signatory, to approve dodgy invoices from that supplier?
Well, there you go. The whole system falls apart. Those strong controls are suddenly useless.
Wow.
And that really shows why auditors always need professional skepticism.
Yeah.
They can't just take controls at face value. They always have to do some direct checking, some substantive testing. No matter how good the controls seem, human factors are always there.
So when auditors do find these weaknesses, these problems, do they just note it down?
No, they have to communicate it. They report these deficiencies, usually in what's called a management letter, to the company's management.
Okay.
And if the problems are really significant, like could lead to a major error in the accounts they had to report it higher up, to those charged with governance, think the board of directors or the audit committee.
And these reports, they're structured to be helpful, right? Not just criticism.
Yeah, they should be constructive.
Mm.
Typically, they describe the deficiency, what's actually wrong, then the consequence, what could happen because of it, like risk of fraud, loss of money, inaccurate reporting.
And the solution.
And crucially, a practical recommendation. How to fix it, who should be responsible for the fix, and maybe how often the fix should be checked. Actionable stuff.
So pulling it all together then, these internal control systems, they're really vital tools, quite multifaceted, for keeping an organization healthy. Everything from, you know, lock on a door to complex IT security.
Absolutely. It's all about safeguarding the organization.
And understanding this stuff, even just the basics, helps you see how any company, your local shop, or a huge multinational tries to make sure things are accurate, losses are prevented, and, well, how they build trust. It's pretty foundational, isn't it?
It really is. Foundational to trust and reliability.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. We've seen that human factors, error, collusion, management override are often the biggest weak spots, even in well-designed systems.
Mm-hmm. Always the human element.
So thinking beyond just the formal rules and procedures, what deeper strategies, maybe cultural things, are really essential for building a truly ethical and trustworthy organization? Something to perhaps ponder on your own deep dive.